This week on the pod, we are celebrating Gilmore Girls with our longtime, lifelong friend, Elizabeth. She's also a friend of the pod. We're going to be fast-talking nostalgia, deep fandom, and obscure trivia that only a true Gilmore Girl scholar will be able to answer.
Get the coffee ready.
Get it ready. I'm Michael Thomas, fueled by caffeine and emotional whiplash, much like Lorelai Gilmore.
And I'm Elizabeth, standing in for Sierra this week, lifelong Gilmore Girls fan. And I'm so nervous I could thread a sewing machine while it's running.
No, my, you're shaking that hard, are you?
Yeah, and I don't even sew.
And this is really the podcast where we talk fast, feel deeply, and run entirely on caffeine and questionable life choices. Now, Elizabeth, let's give the listeners a little history. Okay. Elizabeth and I go way back, way back, way back, way back.
How far back?
22 years.
Shut up. That's ridiculous.
22 year. We met in 2003 at Theatre Bristol doing The Music Man.
Yeah.
And we have done a million shows together since then, literally somewhere between a dozen and 40.
And a million and 40.
Yeah. Yes, and right. We have acted together in some. And I have directed you in some.
Yeah.
And that's been super fun. I think probably my favorite show that we got to do together.
Like in together?
Into the Woods.
Yes, absolutely. Oh yeah. My gosh.
I was the baker.
Yes. I was Cinderella.
Yes. I'll never forget when we got cast. It was during Cabaret.
Yes.
Where we met Sierra.
Yes. Oh.
And
hey, girl.
We auditioned and we found out at a show that we got cast and we both just stood backstage and cried.
Sobbed.
You would have thought,
like
y'all, you would have thought we got cast in the only Broadway show.
You'd have thought we got Tony nominated.
Absolutely. And this was a small community theater, ladies and gentlemen, but Theater Bristol, it's been around forever, but, yeah, we were just thrilled. And that one, I love that show.
Yeah.
No one is alone.
Let's just cry now.
I got to thinking about that the other day. And that just, it hit me. Like, I remembered the last show when I sat on the edge of the stage and just wept through the whole thing. And I think that was the show Sierra came to.
Oh.
And everybody during the meet and greet was like, oh my gosh, you killed us. Was that real? I was like, yes. It was just such a good show. And there were so many of our like close friends in it.
Yeah.
Me, you, Matt, Meglin, Ori. I'm sure other
people.
You're
doing so much better at pulling these names. Every time you say one, I'm like, yeah. John stage.
John, yes. But anyway, I think my favorite one though that I got to direct you in was Five and Dime.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Come back to the Five and Dime.
I just realized the first one I directed you in was Five Women Wearing the Same Dress.
Yes. Yeah.
And the last one I directed you in was Five and Dime.
Five and Dime. Fives.
Yeah.
I've never noticed
that. I hadn't either.
Both fives.
It just dawned on me.
Interesting.
That's got to mean something.
I guess.
Yeah.
Five stars for both of us.
Thank you. Yeah. I like yours better. But yeah, I think Five and Dime, as much as I loved you in Five Women, I think Five and Dime's probably my favorite character you've played. That was intense.
Yeah.
For those of you all that haven't seen the movie, Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, Jimmy Dean. It's amazing. It takes place in a small town. It is a lot of strong Southern women.
Yes.
It takes place in Marfa, Texas. Teeny town. And your character. This movie was Cher's first movie. This was Kathy Bates' first movie.
I don't think I realized it was both of their first movies.
I could be wrong, but I wouldn't know. I'm not familiar with the sensation. But it's...
I'm not going to fact check you. I'm just going with
somebody
it.
Somebody on here probably right. going to. But but it was such a good movie. And then tried to get the rights for a few years, and we finally got them, and we did it. And you were Sissy, Cher's character, because you're that fabulous. And you... that monologue, man. Oh, that you have in Act Two.
Yes.
Slade.
Well, thank you very much. It was really hard to memorize.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
But I loved everybody in that show. Everybody did a good job. It was our friend Marquita's first and only show. She hasn't done one since then.
Blows my mind still.
Yeah.
She was
amazing.
Amber
was in it. Renee Everhart. Will.
Tori. Williver.
Tori Burnett. Or whatever her married name is now. Just wonderful people. It was, yeah. I mean.
Sam.
Yes. Sam Pasco. So, you know, we just had a. It was a fun time.
It was a good time.
Lori Addison.
And you did a great.
Why am I forgetting Lori? I was sitting here
like, we're missing one.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's been a long
Her
day.
Character was pivotal.
Oh my gosh.
But that show, y'all, the movie came out in the early 80s. And that show, we did it in 2012. The Broadway play came out in the late 70s. Cher was also in that. It dealt with issues that we had not done, especially in this area.
Oh,
in 2012.
Yeah.
Mental health, trans. Mm-hmm. It was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
And we were ahead of our time.
That's true.
By doing it.
So true.
Because, you know.
And you were a fantastic director. Oh, I mean.
Thank you.
I feel like when you first started directing, because, I mean, we had been in several things together, you know, spanning years, really, before you directed anything. And I remember when you first started that, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like his wheelhouse. I didn't know.
Thank you. As much as I do love performing, I felt like directing was kind of a niche.
I feel like I can remember you saying that,
You
know, way back that you were like, I love to perform, but this is, which, you know what? That makes sense to me because you're a teacher, you know?
True.
I don't know. It fits you.
We like being in front of a crowd. Folks.
Well, that's true.
Speaking of small towns, Marfa, Texas, let's talk about Stars Hollow.
Okay. Let's do it.
Let's get into it.
Let's get right in. And also I just have to throw out there that, I am aware. I feel privileged to be here, and I want you to know, and the listeners to know that I'm aware I have a very big accent to fill.
You do. The shoes will be easy to fill. She has small feet, but the accent, girl,
I'm gonna bring it out.
You can do it.
Oh yeah, I mean it's in there. I'm from right here.
Yeah, and you live in Greenville, Tennessee now.
Yeah.
So don't anybody stalk her.
Yeah. It's actually the accent is probably cute. More now. Oh yeah, if you're cute, I mean,
go ahead.
Feel free.
I'm kidding. That might be that you won't be cute after that. It'll just be creepy.
The cute factor does go down a little when you become a stalker.
That
I
is
guess.
True. Yeah, yeah. If Jeffrey Dahmer's people could speak, anyway. But yes, small towns, big personalities, Stars Hollow. I think Gilmore Girls, to relate it back to theater, we were just talking about theater for a bit. I think it's very theatrical. Stars Hollow is very theatrical.
It is.
I mean, big personalities, big characters, that fast-paced dialogue. Mm-hmm. And you know, you remember, I'm all about the fast pace.
Yes.
I'm like, no pregnant pauses.
Oh my gosh.
Unless you're acting through them.
Yeah, you'd have us speed through our like on purpose. But then like, I mean, absolutely go as fast as we could. And then most of the time it was like, but actually that is how fast it should be.
Well, it's got to be conversational.
Yeah.
It's got to be natural.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, hello, we're sitting here talking and we're speeding through it.
Yep. And we're talking over each other. And
absolutely.
Still I mean,
that's,
just,
that's what we do.
That's right.
As humans. But yeah, I think if Stars Hollow did a community theater show. Obviously. Let's cast this. Well, Miss Patty.
Oh.
She have to be in it.
Diva extraordinaire, yes.
Please do not let Taylor Dozy direct it.
Okay, so what I was going to say is, so we've got the big Broadway characters, Miss Patty and Babette. Yes.
Yes.
But what I was going to say is, so what Taylor is like the stage manager who wanted to be an actor.
Bless. Yes.
And is not really good at either.
No. No, not really.
Not even good at the stage managing, but it's how he can feel like he's a part.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, Taylor. My mother loves Taylor Dozy.
Really?
Listen, folks, we're going to talk about it in a minute. But Monet. She has found Gilmore Girls.
She has found Gilmore Girls.
She has found Gilmore Girls. Amazing. I do think the probably the one person that I can't imagine in a community theater show would be Rory.
That's actually an excellent point.
I think of her. I'm like, whoo, poor old Alexis. She was barely acting at that point. So, I mean, I do love her, but wow.
Isn't it like.
She grew.
Yeah, she grew. She did. Very different, even from season 1 to 2.
Yeah.
And season 3, I think, is where she really starts to change. But isn't. So I feel like it's a very common fact that Paris, whose real name I can't think of right now, Liza mm-hmm. something.
Yes.
Yes. I think it's a well-known fact that she was in the running to be Rory.
Yes.
And then one of the things that made them go with Alexis Bledel was like, it was kind of the first thing she had done, right? Like when she auditioned. So,
yeah. She was at NYU.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they had her come back a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And when she came back for one of them, she said something like, are you guys going to make me come back again?
Yeah.
Because I have, you know, other things to do. And they were like, well, you're cast.
Yeah. I cannot even imagine saying that to Amy Sherman Palladino. She's so intimidating looking to me.
Yeah, she kind of is.
In that big top hat and all of her black. And she's just, yeah. I mean, she always wears.
She's a vibe
big,
for sure.
She, 100%. As you know, she wears those big swarthy black clothes. And yes. I mean, she looks like a Dementor from Harry Potter, but much prettier.
A fashionable one.
A fashionable, yes. So listeners, what we're going to kind of do this week, since I have with me someone with an encyclopedic knowledge of Gilmore Girls, I'm going to interview her. I'm going to ask her some questions. Now, mind you, folks, these questions are, we're going to have a trivia moment, but these answers are Elizabeth's opinion. So please, no one get mad if you don't agree.
And also, I would like to throw in that regardless of what happens on this show, uh-huh. it is important to me that the listeners know, I believe it was 2019, you and I are the reigning champions of a Gilmore
Absolutely.
Girls trivia contest
that is true.
At
that is true.
Johnson City Brewing Company.
Yes, Elizabeth did all the heavy lifting in that, I will say, but we are. We absolutely are.
Yes.
Even
if my memory has slipped a little.
Well, it was pre-pandemic.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, because we were packed in there.
Yes.
And I saw my cousin Steve. He walked in. Doesn't even live in Johnson City. Doesn't live in the Tri-Cities, folks. He lives in, like, South Carolina. And he was up here on a business trip.
Yeah, and it's a small... it's a compact
venue
place.
It is.
And I think they have two locations, and I think they just opened a third. Someone told me that.
I love hearing that.
I know.
I love when a small business succeeds. Elizabeth, first question I want to ask you. Yeah. Why do you think this show has held up so well over, you know, we're getting ready to celebrate the 25th anniversary.
That's so wild.
I know. Why do you think it's held up for 25 years?
Well, I think for me, probably, I would have to say the quick banter, like mm-hmm. just the pace of the conversation amongst people, you know, it's similar to, so it's a rewatch comfort show of mine over years. And the other show for me that is the same is The West Wing. And,
sure.
and with both of them, it's just so much of like, what you know, moments that you have with friends all the time. And then also the moments where you're like, oh, I wish I would have said that. Like, it's just very,
yes.
It's just I think that the banter is top notch.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
I springboard off of that. I think the banter when, you know, like we were saying, when you're in a relationship, when you're in a friendship with a person, you're that close with, I do feel like you do talk fast.
Yeah.
You know, you not necessarily fast. Some people don't talk fast, but like you just kind of.
Cause you're being yourself.
Yeah.
It's
you
just
flow.
Yeah.
It just flows out of you.
And I'm very, I mean, so I'm like that with you.
Uh-huh.
I'm like that with my sister.
Sure.
Like I'm like that with very specific people.
Yeah.
But it's a show where you're seeing all these characters who are like that all the time. Like,
yes.
Around everybody, anybody.
Yeah.
You know, so it's almost like you're seeing a side of it for me anyway, because I don't always express myself the way I want to.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I watch those shows and I'm like, yeah, That's
and I think
well written.
I saw an interview that said that your usual hour long episode is, I don't even remember how many pages.
Like 40 or 50 pages. Yeah. Yes.
And theirs were double that.
Yes.
And that was just the writer's way of being like, okay, we got to get it all in this one. You know, so they had a dog pass.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just love it.
Yeah.
I love it. It's, I think it being that relatable, or I think it being that comfortable makes it more relatable.
Yeah.
To see those characters comfortable with each other. Because, you know, the awkward parts, you feel awkward because they are, you know.
Yeah.
You've grown to love them. So. Yeah. So as a longtime fan, do you watch it for, do you rewatch it for comfort? Do you have more of a critical lens toward it now than you did?
Yeah. Well, I think the older I get, the more critical I am about everything.
Sure, sure.
So I would say, I don't know, my first like 700 or 800 watches were for comfort. But definitely over time now, part of the fun is to watch it and critique it. Do to you be like, that
when
was
you
cringy.
Don't just watch it for comfort, do you find things that you're like,
yes.
I never noticed that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's weird.
And so I have not seen A Year in the Life as much as I have seen the OG 70s. But I will say this, this is one of my favorite things. So obviously I've when that came out, the reunion? I don't know.
The reboot.
Yeah, the reboot, sure. Whatever. The Year in the Life.
Yeah.
When that came out. At that point I had watched the original episodes a million times. And, you know, when Luke and Lorelai get married, the song, the Reflecting Light song that plays, I just loved it. And I just sobbed. And I was like, this is the most beautiful song ever. And I like raved about it for forever. I was obsessed. I listened to it a million times. And then on my next, you know, regular rewatch of the seasons, I was absolutely floored because when Luke and Lorelai dance at Liz's wedding, that's the song they're dancing to. And I was like,
yeah.
Like, I did not know that before because it just plays in the background. And since I didn't know the song, I had never really heard that part.
Yeah.
But then I had been obsessed with the song and listening to it. So as soon as it started, I knew that's what it was. And I just, you know, cried. I was like, that's amazing. What a great idea that these creative directors had. And they were like, we're going to play this song
again.
Yeah. Because it means something.
I definitely do watch it for comfort, but I do think. Yeah, now if I do sit down and just randomly pull an episode and watch it,
yeah,
I'll definitely.
There's plenty to.
Because I haven't, you know, numbed out.
No.
Watching 12 episodes prior on Saturday.
If you did, no shame.
I don't worry, I ain't got nothing about that. What do you think of Lorelai and Rory's dynamic? Is it relatable? Is it dysfunctional? Is it?
What would it say about me if my answer were I think it's relatable because it's dysfunctional? But I mean, I will say, I mean, their relationship obviously is beautiful and fun and it's a good time to watch, but I always think about the fact that their relationship would not be what it is if Lorelai and Emily's relationship weren't what it is.
Sure.
It's like the whole, you can't have this without that. Like it's,
yeah,
you know, and I think that's beautiful too.
Yeah.
And
I get what you're saying. Cause Lorelai didn't want that for Rory.
Yeah.
And
she, I mean, you could even say, I think you can say this, you know, lovingly, but she overcompensated basically.
Sure.
Yeah.
I do think, I mean, we don't talk much about A Year in the Life. Not that it wasn't bad. Okay.
No.
For a reboot, or not a reboot, but like, you know, whatever, a follow up, a final season that it's supposed to be, a miniseries, whatever you want to call it. It's good. It's fine.
That's fine.
You know, they all grow. They're different people. But I've said this to you before. I do think. because Ed Herman has passed away, mm-hmm. and they focus a lot on that. And a lot of it is that first year after he passed mm-hmm. and Emily's journey through that. And, you know, the Gilmore Girls originally were, you know, he was there. Mm-hmm. He was the Gilmore guy.
Yes.
So I think it's like a study in grief that season.
Yeah.
Or that whatever miniseries. A year in the life. And now I've rewatched it two or three times, but now I'm like, whoa, that's heavy, man. Yeah. Like, you know, cause it, looking at it through that lens and rewatching it through that lens, I'm like, oh my, that gets me in the feels.
Well, I mean, you and I are champion grief unpackers.
Oh yeah. So. We're champion criers. We're champion feelers. Yes. We're champion overthinkers. Yeah. So, I mean, it's
the
just
number one way to describe me.
I will say it gets better when you get older. Cause Elizabeth is much younger.
I don't know about much, but can I just say, am I in a weird limbo place then? Did it get real worse and then get better?
Yeah.
Because actually I'm in a place where I think mine's worse. But I keep hearing.
I think it's 40.
Is that what it is?
Maybe.
Okay. All right.
Because I hit 40 and I was just like, meh. Okay. And it's not that I don't care. It's just I've kind of learned what to care.
To care about, yes.
Yeah. Yes. So I do think that. I think that's coming with age.
Oh, good. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. You learn what to care about and you get more excited over buying a washing machine than a car. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
that's adulting.
I feel like I'm at that point. Yeah. That part I've hit.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm on my way.
I think that's hardcore adulting. You know how sometimes you need a cup of coffee, but your heart rate's like, yeah, please don't. Mm-hmm, that's me, which is why I'm obsessed with Savorista. They make small batch coffee that's actually craft roasted, full of flavor, but without all that caffeine. I've been drinking their decaf and half calf blends lately, and listen, if you think decaf can't taste good, Savorista is about to change your entire personality. It's bold, it's smooth, it doesn't taste like sadness. You can drink it at 9 p.m. without regretting all your life choices. Okay, so if you're looking for that, you know, cozy cup that won't have you reorganizing your pantry at 2 a.m., check out Savorista.com. Savorista, Savorista.com. And use the code REALLYPOD at checkout for a little something off your first order. That little something, 25%. Mm-hmm. Your nervous system will thank you. What do you think? So what do you think is the heart of Stars Hollow?
Okay. So the first thing that comes to mind mm-hmm. is the town meetings.
Oh my gosh.
Just because they're so, obviously they're humorous.
Yes.
They're hilarious to watch, but just like the idea behind a town meeting. I want to have a town meeting right now.
Right.
Like it's so.
And does this normally happen? Is that like a is that a ploy for the show?
I would love.
Or are there actual town meetings in towns?
I need people to comment for you.
And I looked up when I was looking up the trivia questions that we're going to get to in the next segment. I was looking up the population of Stars Hollow is like 9,000. I don't think of that as a tiny town.
I kind of don't either. No.
I mean, I came from a town of like 3,500 to 4,000.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't. I mean, Bristol's like, 30 some thousand maybe. Virginia side, Tennessee side. I think together they're pretty good. Yeah. They're pretty big. But I don't think, I mean, yes, it is small, but I don't think it's tiny. Not to have such a tiny little walkable downtown.
Yes.
I mean, I'm just saying it's so walkable. Rory and Lorelai they walked from their house all the time.
Everywhere.
Like, I bet her Jeep doesn't hardly have any miles
probably
on it.
Not.
Because I mean
no wonder she
they were
to
so close to everywhere.
True. That's such great exercise.
Just thought of this. Who is your favorite obscure character? Because you know there were so many.
My favorite obscure
like they might be in a character, you know, 5 or 6 episodes or throughout a season, but like they threw us some zingers.
Some good ones.
Yeah.
Okay. So I kind of want to say, and this is unusual for me because I would say on the whole, I'm more of a fan of earlier seasons, but the first one that comes to mind is actually Marty. Roy's friend at college.
Oh, I loved Marty. Me too. I always wanted her to get with him.
Right? She should have.
Well, we're going to talk about that.
Okay, great.
Horrible taste in men.
I mean, of the options, I'm Team Jess, but that's just the options.
Well, okay. Let's go there. So you're Team Jess, huh?
Oh, we're going there.
We're going there.
Yeah. I mean,
oh, well, I guess we should for flow. Sorry, folks. Let's go back. Let's go back to your favorite obscure character. But no, you said Marty.
Well, who's yours?
As much as they get on my nerves, Liz and TJ.
Really? I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Yeah.
They get on my nerves too, but at the same time, so many people in real life do. Yeah. So now we're back to relatable.
But also, do you remember when, I think it was Cheryl Fines? Is that her name? She played Luke's ex the kid's mother? No, not Rachel. But she was two different characters at one point.
Oh, yeah.
You remember
that? I know who you're talking
about. She was blonde and she was brunette.
Yes. It's April's mom.
Okay.
And then it was also, she played Jess's dad's girlfriend.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
She has such an interesting voice to me.
Yeah. She's beautiful.
Yes. Very.
I loved her. I remember she was in the Elizabeth Taylor story, a Lifetime version, way before Lindsay Lohan. she was interesting. Two different characters, very similar faces.
Amy must have loved her.
Just different hair. You know, hey, maybe she was easy to work with. Maybe that goes a long way.
It really does.
But yeah, Liz and TJ. What was I saying before?
On Team Jess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go there.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I guess ultimately, I'm Team Luke. So, you kind of by default are Team Jess. I mean, I don't. Dean is just a problem for me. And then Logan is just a blonder problem for me. So then we have Jess.
I never liked Logan.
No.
Ever. Dean, I think he's whiny.
Yes.
I like Jess. I guess out of all of them, Jess.
Yeah. And speaking of banter again. Well, Marty was a good friend.
Yeah.
He was a good friend.
Yeah.
And fun.
He was.
But like, speaking of banter, like we were earlier, Les and Rory had the best banter.
Oh, they did.
I mean,
like it was, yeah.
Well, it was.
They had the best
it
chemistry.
Was like Luke and Lorelai. Yes.
Yes.
Chemistry. That's the right word.
It's, yeah. I just thought of that. They're kind of a shrunk down. Or not shrunk down, younger Luke and Lorelai. Honey, I shrunk the kids. Like
great movie.
Oh,
we'll do an episode on that at some point. I hope.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like any of the other options. Yeah, Team Jess definitely. I hate that they never ended up together.
Yeah, I mean, I still think they do. In my head, they do.
You know, hey. These are fictional characters. We can come up with whatever story we want.
Yes, we can.
All right. Well, Elizabeth, it is now time for
a
very Gilmore quiz.
Okay. Dun, dun, dun.
These questions have been verified by the one and only Google. So, you know, they're legit. I've researched these. We'll start out with an easy one.
Okay.
So, who played Emily Gilmore?
Kelly Bishop.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I love her.
She's amazing.
Tony Award winner.
Oh, she's so good.
Did you know? Did I say this already? Did you know she and Ed Herman won their Tonys on the same night?
No, I did
they
not.
They did.
That's so cute.
Yes. I love
Aww.
That.
Fate
in real life.
Kismet.
Next question.
Okay.
That was a warm up.
Okay.
Which coffee does Lorelai claim is the only kind that tastes right?
Luke's?
Yes.
Oh. I was not sure of that answer at all. It's like, any? Is it a trick question? Did she say any coffee?
No.
Luke's coffee. Of course.
In the pilot episode, how many cups of coffee does Lorelai say she drinks when Luke asks her?
Five.
Atta girl.
I believe he says, how many have you had today? And she says, none. And he says, times. And she says, five. Or plus. And she says, five. Something to that effect.
Oh, I love her. I relate to that.
Yeah.
What food item does Luke refuse to serve at his diner upon the request of Emily Gilmore?
What? What food item does Luke refuse to serve?
I believe this is season two. Might be the end of season one.
I remember when she goes to the diner. Mm-hmm. Is it like a? I feel like it's like a fish food or something. Like a.
You're close.
Okay. Close to fish.
There's fish in it. Anchovies, maybe.
Oh, okay. Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Oh, yes. There's anchovies in the dressing.
And Caesar salad.
Yes. Good. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're yelling at your listening device at this moment because I'm giving her hints, guess what? It's my show.
No such hints were given at Johnson City Brewing Company.
No, that is very true. All right. So you are 4 for 4.
Oh, hooray.
Next round, Stars Hollow Secrets. Mm. What was the original purpose of the building that now houses Luke's diner?
Hardware store.
Yes. Dad's good. Hardware store. Yes. Good. Good. What was the name of the newspaper at Chilton in which Rory and Paris worked?
The Franklin.
Yes. Okay. I should have gotten a little harder on these.
No, these are fine.
Which quirky town resident once filmed a short movie about his own life?
Did you know that this character originally in the pilot episode was named Mick?
No.
So it's awful. It's Kirk? Is it Kirk?
Yes, okay. It's Kirk.
I assumed it was Kirk.
Kirk is one of my favorites.
Yeah, in the pilot episode, he's like some, I don't, he's like, oh, he's coming to install like a DSL or
yes,
something.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he's just this guy named Mick. And then in all the other episodes, he's Kirk. The town Kirk.
Yeah.
But he's just this guy named Mick that Lorelai does not know.
Did you know, I think her name's Alex Borstein. Was the original Suki.
Yes. And she's married in real life to Jackson.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's, I love her in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, she's hilarious.
She's amazing. Yes. She's an amazing actress, Mrs. Swan on Mad TV. But
very funny. Good comedic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to talk a little bit about the Gilmores themselves.
Okay.
Easy one. I'm vacillating. I'm giving giving you levels.
Okay.
What was Rory's first choice of college before she decided on Yale?
I believe it was Harvard.
Yeah. Yes, it was Harvard.
Hartford, Hereford, and Hampshire.
Oh.
Sorry, I just went straight into My Fair Lady.
I mean, classic. What pet does Lorelai own before Paul Anka?
What? Mm-hmm. I don't even remember owning a pet.
Okay. We don't see it. I will say that.
Okay.
She talks about it. I think to Luke, maybe. Or Max. Or
okay.
Rob, whatever that other guy name that she liked.
Is it like a...
You know.
I want to say she a hamster or a rabbit.
Yeah. Oh, yep.
Is it a rabbit?
Nope. It's a hamster.
Oh, it's a hamster.
Hamster. You were correct. You were correct.
Something small and in a cage is what I was thinking.
Do you remember the name?
God, no. Not at all. Absolutely not.
Skippy.
Okay.
Okay. So you can have credit for that. The teacher in me is coming out. We are on question Fate. Fate.
Question Fate.
What? Okay, so question nine. What object? No, what gift does Lorelai receive on her porch in season two that completely baffles her?
Baffled, like the look on my face right now.
As much as it baffled you, Lorelai felt that.
Okay. What gift does she receive? Mm-hmm.
Think of what happens in season two.
Well, she gets engaged.
She does. And then, because she is who she
unengaged.
Is. Unengaged. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Okay. So someone sends her like a condolence gift or it was supposed to be a wedding gift.
Oh, well, I never thought about the condolence part. I guess it's a wedding gift. Okay. Sure.
Oh, gosh. I do not remember this. But like with zero memory at all. Like, I don't know the answer, but I want to say a blender.
Oh, you are close. You are very close. Ice cream maker.
Oh.
You were in the kitchen appliance realm. You were in the kitchen appliance realm. All right.
I still, even after you say the answer, I don't think I remember this.
It was, okay, so I dug into this one.
Okay.
And in the Gilmore Girls fandom, they think Emily gave her that.
Oh.
And then, once she broke off the engagement, she had it sent to the house because she had already bought it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it never... She never explicitly says.
They never
says,
say, no. They never explain it. Okay. No,
but that's the theory.
Wow. Okay.
You know, if you go down that rabbit hole, you will not sleep. Anyway.
Call me Alice.
Yeah. All right. Question 10. In season 3, what movie do Lorelai and Rory attend that causes them to argue about Dean and Jess?
What movie do they attend?
Okay. It's more of a film. I wouldn't call it a movie.
Okay.
Like a documentary film.
Okay. So immediately I have an answer, but I'm hesitant to say it. Okay. The nerves are nerving.
Okay.
Because of what I don't remember is it causing an argument about the ingest.
Okay. I didn't remember this part either.
Is it Grey Gardens?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so I vividly remember them watching that.
Yeah.
And your description made me think that, but I don't remember it resulting in an argument. I'll have to go back and watch.
Yeah.
What season?
Oh, three?
Season three.
Yes.
Okay.
Season three.
Brush up on that.
Oh, this one's going back. When Rory first meets Jess, what book does Rory recommend that he says he pretends that he has not read?
Oh, no. It's not Oliver Twist, is it?
No, it's a good guess.
Well, because they do talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
She, I was like, gonna say calls him Dodger or something at some point.
Yes, and which is accurate. It is Howl by Allen Ginsberg.
Yep. Never would have got that.
Nope.
Even in my glory days.
Nope.
Of Gilmore Girls knowledge, I wouldn't have.
When I pulled that question from the depths of the interwebs, I was like. I mean, I remember him going into her bedroom and stealing a book.
Yep, I remember that.
And,
now.
Well, it was that one.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he actually had read it. And we later found out he'd read it like 40 times.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know. He's such a man of mystery. All right. We are moving on to question 12. And you are
moving right along.
Yeah. You are, let's see, 10 correct, 2 incorrect.
Where's my half?
So 10 and a half, correct. And
I'm kidding. I'm not really competitive. Only if it's Jimmy Stewart, then I get very competitive.
Oh, that is true. Okay. Lorelai compares her relationship with Luke to which classic sitcom couple? Let me just say this. I would not call them classic.
Oh.
I remember this show as a child.
Okay.
I don't think it's classic. I think it's a rerun.
Not like watching a syndicated classic as a child, but like it was live as you were a child.
Yes.
Okay.
I remember the series finale.
Well, then I now know that my answer is wrong.
Oh, okay. Just kidding.
Before you said that, I was going to say Ricky and Lucy.
Oh, no. See, I think of that as a classic. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Now, this show was like an 80s, 90s, early 90s show.
Back when I didn't watch TV because I was homeschooled and I was, you know, mom and dad did the whole are you watching
thing. Yeah. You got MTV on?
Sheltered.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I stumped.
You did? Like, I have not even a little bit of a guess. I mean, Ricky and Lucy was my best guess.
Sam and Diane from Cheers.
Okay. Never seen it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've never seen Cheers. Oh,
Woody Harrelson, when he was like younger, so good. So good. Rhea Perlman. Well, obviously, Sam and Diane. I don't remember their real names.
Not to be confused with Jack and Diane.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
Them I know.
John Cougar. Okay. Moving on. Who did Suki and Lorelai buy the Dragonfly Inn from?
Fran.
Yes. That's one of my favorite moments in the show.
Yes.
When they are Hebby Corton, that nephew or whomever, in the funeral procession.
Yep. And then when they're all like worried that they killed Fran.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. This is a personal question.
Oh.
And I think you do know it.
Okay.
Elizabeth, what is my favorite line from Gilmore Girls? And who says it?
Your favorite line?
Mm-hmm.
From the whole of it?
All the episodes.
Oh my God. Well, it's gotta be Emily who says it.
No.
It's not?
It's
Michelle.
No.
Oh my God. Okay.
I'm heartbroken.
Failure is a friend.
No, as soon as I think you'll be like, oh,
okay,
duh, because we have talked about it. It's the pressure. You're just feeling the pressure.
I am.
Feeling the pressure.
It's warm in here.
Let me give you a hint.
Okay.
Is it raining?
No. No, it's National Baptism Day. Tie your tubes, idiot.
Yes, that's it.
Paris,
yes. Now, my favorite character, I will say, is Mrs. Kim. But Paris is a close second.
Yes.
I love Paris.
She really, probably out of everybody, has the best singers. I would say between her and Emily.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Both of them.
Yeah.
They tie. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're amazing. Like,
you have definitely told me that before.
Yes, thank you.
Came right back.
Thank you. All right, folks, I know it's been a minute since I've done one of these. I used to do these videos all the time, and I'm back doing another one. It's a consumer report. Now, I know we have all had those days where our stomach's like, hey, you remember them tacos you ate? Yeah, we're going to talk about that all day. Well, okay, so lately, I've been using Professor B's Digestive Aids. Because, you know, sometimes your gut needs a little extra tutoring. They use pure honey and these other all natural bee derived and herbal ingredients that are rooted in what's called apitherapy to help promote a healthier gut naturally. It's science meets sweetness, natural sweetness. And honestly, y'all, it works. There's no weird side effects. It's not any kind of weird mystery potion, just natural ingredients doing their job. Plus, Professor B's gave us an exclusive 10% off. Mm-hmm. Just head to profbees.com. That's profbees.com and use code REALLYPOD at checkout. Again, that's profbees.com, promo code REALLYPOD for 10% off any product. Because our digestive systems deserve an A-plus day, too. How many daisies does Max send Lorelai when he proposes?
1,000 yellow daisies.
Yes. We're getting close to the end. In the episode, A Tisket, A Tasket, who did Rory hope would buy her basket?
Dean.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a little chick-wing.
Well, I mean, I knew. It's actually Boba Tiff.
What is the name? Last question.
Oh, okay.
And this one, I feel like it's pretty obscure.
Okay.
What is the name of Babette and Maury's cat?
Cinnamon.
What?
Cinnamon's Wake. That's the name of the episode where he dies.
Oh, that's the name of the episode?
Cinnamon's
Wow,
Wake.
I really did my deep dive. That is correct.
I thought the last one was going to be much harder.
I can find one.
Nope, no, please don't.
I'm kidding. Well, very good. Very good. You got 17 out of 21.
Okay. That's not terrible.
I think that's still, that still keeps you solidly in the super fan territory.
I'm so glad to hear it.
So that, my friends, is why Elizabeth could teach an entire Gilmore Girls seminar.
Yeah.
Well, at a Holiday Inn. Mm-hmm. In Poughkeepsie. Just kidding. Pacoima. I love those names. Like, those two, I used to think they were fictional. They're not. These are places.
Yeah.
These are real places.
Okay. Somehow I'm going to make those places tie into our topic of Gilmore Girls and say, speaking of names that I think are made up that also start with a P, isn't it weird? I always thought it was so weird, the character of Pendle and Lot. Richard's old flame.
Yes.
Like, what name is that?
I know.
Pendle and Lot.
And Emily was so jealous.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Yes. Oh, that reminds me. They split up for a little while, didn't they?
Yes.
Emily and Richard.
So scandalous.
Let me just say this. Yes. And I probably should have said this early on. If we're spoiling anything for you all that have not, well, you're 25 years too late. So, that's on you.
These are facts. They've had plenty of time.
Plenty.
It's on multiple streaming services now. You have no excuse.
Yep, Netflix, you got the Hulu. Pick whichever one doesn't offend you today. So, what were you going to say?
I was just going to tell you, I have a few unpopular opinions that I hold. Do you want to hear them?
You better believe it.
Well, I think that they're unpopular based on just, you know, people I know.
Sure.
But so I've got three.
Okay.
So the first one is that I don't like Richard.
Okay.
I never found those endearing moments that you have to find with a character. Never found them with him.
Okay.
I do think it's sad when he's gone, but even then, so much of that is the women. Like, I've connected with women, so I feel bad that they're sad.
Sure.
But I don't know. I found him mostly boring, kind of patronizing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
get all that. Now, I didn't dislike him. I will say, so I started watching Gilmore Girls in 2016, which is the year I started watching it after Dad passed. Mm. And I don't know if it was, you know, recency bias or what, but Richard kind of reminded me of Dad, especially that episode where he comes to work with Lorelai that day.
Oh my goodness.
He's so critical of everything.
Does.
Not that my dad was hypercritical. I don't mean that, but he could be. And so, I think I'm indifferent.
Yeah.
On Richard.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Mid.
And honestly, because there are so many characters that I love, maybe just the fact that he's fine translates to I don't like him.
Sure.
This is a lot to live up to.
I get
to.
That. Yeah. Okay. Another hot take.
Yeah. So I love Kirk.
Yeah.
I love Kirk. And I don't think most people do. I think they find him kind of like Liz and TJ level, you know, the annoying.
Yeah.
But I just I love him.
He is the breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
It's always, and the timing of his entrances, it would always be something really weird happening.
Yes.
And then Kirk would come in.
And he's so deadpan with his weird deliveries.
Do you know? Okay. The actor that plays him.
Sean Gunn.
Yes. Do you know him personally?
No. Anyway,
okay. But he's in all the Guardians of the Galaxies.
I did know that. And actually, those are why I know his name, not Gilmore Girls.
Oh, okay. Okay. His brother directed those.
Oh, I didn't know that.
James Gunn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are they related to Tim? Because I also love Tim Gunn.
I don't know. They're all kind of tall and skinny they and are. Have pointy noses. So they could be.
We're going to.
He could be an uncle.
Figure that out later.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I need another hot take.
Okay.
From you.
The final one that I have,
oh, okay.
I feel maybe like the most controversial, but I mean, it's just the truth. I don't care for the theme song. Oh. I know. I knew that would be the one that might hurt you.
Yeah.
Carole King. Gotta love her.
Yeah.
But I just don't like the song.
Oh.
I skip the intro. That's who I am.
Well, I mean, I do that too. I hit skip. But I also have that whole album.
Do you?
I do. Mm. I think it's her Tapestry album.
It is actually because I knew I was going to say that on here. So I looked it up just to see, like, I don't know. I was like, I've always disliked the theme song, blah, blah, blah. So I looked up to remember for sure if I was right that on the show, like she re-recorded it with her daughter, which that part I like. So I saw just a little, you know, snippet and it said Tapestry, whatever. And it apparently almost wasn't on there.
Oh.
And then when Amy Sherman-Palladino asked her if she could use the song for the show, Carole King apparently had always disliked the song because she didn't really like the message of you'd just follow a man anywhere. So she rarely performed it live. So then when she was asked if the song could be used for the show, that was she said yes, but if I can re-record it with my daughter, which that I love.
Oh yeah.
And making it, you know, about that kind of relationship and not about, you know. But so I have full body chills, ladies and gentlemen. I know. Well, I just found that out.
That's amazing.
It is really cool.
Because I mean, I never thought about it being, you know, following a man.
Yeah.
Because of the context of the show.
Yes.
You know.
Exactly.
But I get that now.
Mm-hmm.
That Carol.
I know.
I think she'll be something.
She's deep. She's got a bright future ahead of her.
She's going to be something.
But yeah, as far as just, you know, would I want to listen to it? Nah.
Carole King, when they did her Kennedy Center honors. Have you seen that video when Aretha Franklin comes out and sings Natural Woman to Carole King?
No.
Listen, I thought Carole King was going to, well, she does cry a little, but there's this little man behind her in the shot. I just felt for him.
Is he sobbing?
He was having a moment. I mean, he was absolutely, I mean, the lip quiver. The tears flowing. I mean, he was, as soon as Aretha starts singing, and I mean, Carole acts surprised. I'm like, did you record a ton together? Maybe they did. I don't know. Like she's like looking out on the morning rain, and Carole King's like, oh, like she's just shocked, and I'm like, okay, I don't feel like you should be shocked, but yeah, that poor little man in the back.
Love it.
God, love it. Any other hot takes you got, sis?
No, that's all I got.
The last one just broke my heart.
I know. It's so all right. Sorry.
That's growth.
I do have to tell you this, though. This is not a hot take. It's just a personal, little personal
okay.
Story. So, you know, so some of the best openers are the Friday night dinner openers, right?
Absolutely.
And there's that one episode where Emily is telling the girls to put a post-it on things that they want after Richard and Emily passed. She's like, oh, do you like that dish? Put a post-it on it or whatever. And they're just looking at each other like, how morbid. My grandmother did that.
Oh my gosh.
She's nothing like Emily Gilmore. Absolutely nothing. Opal Pearl. That was my grandmother's
name.
I love
that name.
Yeah. But she did that. And there are still things. She has passed and I actually live in her house now.
Uh-huh.
But there are still things that like, it's still full of her stuff and a lot of it has post-its on it.
Are you serious?
Yeah. With my name, with Aaron's name, with my Uncle Steve's name, with my mother's name. Like, yeah, you can pick up something and you'll see a post-it.
Did you post it or did Joanne?
Oh, well, that's a good, it depends.
Okay. I can't imagine your dad would post it.
No, he wouldn't put a post-it on it. Well, actually,
I mean, he does love to keep things.
He does. Oh, well, they both do. My mom and dad both love to keep things. My mom just likes to blame my dad for it.
Sure.
It just depends on what it is, really.
Listen, while we're talking about our moms, how do you think you and I would fare on a Friday night dinner with Emily Gilmore, Monet, and Joanne?
Your roasted.
Mother. Yeah.
We'd be roasted. Yeah. We'd be the dinner. We'd be the That would be the most fearsome trio I've ever heard of.
Like, it'd be like the Sanderson sisters.
Oh my. Yeah. But like, not fun.
No. Very true. Oh my word. I can't even imagine. Oh. We need to write a skit.
I have trauma just thinking about it. I'm already traumatized from like a fictional scenario
your chest
that I can play
red
in my head. Yes.
Speaking of, though, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have a message for mom on this one, but I do have, my mother has recently discovered Gilmore Girls.
Okay.
And I told her about it because you and I were going to be recording this episode.
Okay.
She was like, is that any good? And I was like, I think you'd love it.
Yeah.
Sally Struthers, Liz Torres. I mean, I was like, I think you'd love it. Ed Herman. She loves all them people. Anyway, she's like, you know, the daddy, President Roosevelt from A&E. I'm like, Ed Herman. She's like, sure. And she doesn't think of him as anybody else.
Yeah.
But yeah, I messaged her the other day. She's been watching it maybe a couple weeks.
Okay.
I messaged her the other day. I said, what episode are you on? Season 4, episode 2.
Oh my word.
Considering there's 22 episodes per season.
Yes.
Like, I'm like, oh, wow, you are powering through. And she goes, I watch 3 episodes a night.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And she'll message me.
And I'm not surprised at all that she loves it.
Right?
Yes.
She messaged one night and said, this is the best show other than Downton Abbey.
Now that's something my mother would say.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So she loves it. Downton. I mean, no. She loves it. Anyway. I mean, I think Emily Gilmore's right up there with the Dowager Countess for her.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, isn't it interesting that our mothers love those characters? Huh.
Probably why. Because they relate.
Yes.
I asked Mom, I said, was Mama or Granny like Emily? Mom was like, no, they were kind. And I'm like, okay. Which my mother can be. No, she is. But she is more like Emily.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Joanne definitely is.
Yes.
Our mothers are... They could be sisters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
My mom's the short one. Your mom's the tall one.
Yep.
They're
And other than that, they're basically the same.
Yeah. Same hair colors. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same hairdo.
Same dry delivery. Same,
yes.
Yeah. Matter
yeah.
of fact, deadpan. To the point.
Yes. Probably the same highlighted and written in margins in their Bibles.
In their Bibles. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Word. I love it. All right. Well, we're going to do a very themed buy your stuff here. You should really buy your stuff here this week. And since we have a guest in the house, Elizabeth.
Is that me?
That is I'm you. You are. Elizabeth, tell me, where are you going to buy from a small business around here?
Okay. So, you know, I'm from Bristol, but I live in Greenville now. Mm-hmm. So, I have not actually been to this place. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, it's a different take, but yes.
Okay. Well, I've just heard about it.
Okay.
And I would like to go for a number of reasons, but it is called Dragonfly Book Barn. Yeah. Uh-huh. Right.
It's in Bristol?
Yes. I think it's on State Street, but it's only been open this year, and I started following it on Facebook probably because of the name.
Sure.
But like, you know, Dragonfly Inn, books, Rory. I was like, this is perfect. But if you look at their pictures on Facebook, I mean, it looks beautiful and magical, as most bookstores do. And 100%. Yeah, that would be, if I were going to go explore a local joint at the moment, That's where I would want to go.
Shut up.
Are you looking at it?
Yes. Yeah. Beautiful.
It does look beautiful.
It is a cute little place. Y'all, they are on the IG.
They are on the IG. If I lived in Bristol, I would have already, but I intend to. I think they've been open, like, I don't, maybe spring, but probably summer of this year.
Okay.
Yeah. Am I right that it's on State Street? Did that look right?
Historic downtown Bristol, Virginia, Tennessee.
Okay.
Opened spring 2025. Oh. And they are at Dragonfly Book Bar on Instagram. And they have a link tree on there as well. I love this place. Y'all, it is so cute. I'm going to go this weekend.
Doing it.
Love it.
Locked in.
This is cute.
It does look cute.
It's super cute. Okay. Mine is also a kind of Gilmore Girls themed. Okay. Now, I have frequented this place, especially when I worked in Abingdon, but they have three locations. It is called Trailblazer Coffee. I just thought I couldn't go without doing a coffee shop.
Absolutely.
So Trailblazer Coffee, there is three locations. There is one at 2016 West State Street here in Bristol, Tennessee. The second location is actually in the lobby of Bristol Regional Medical Center.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So I've been to the one on State Street. I've driven through mm-hmm. a time or two. It's been years.
Yeah.
And they do have excellent coffee.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't know they had a place there.
And their third one is inside Johnston Memorial Hospital.
Wow.
Yes, in Abingdon, Virginia.
Very cool.
So I'm telling y'all, I mean, you may not want to go to a hospital, but if you got to and it's not emergent, stop by Bristol Regional or Johnston Memorial and pop into Trailblazer. The owners, I used to work with them at Bristol Regional. One is a physician, one's a nurse, and they did a little pivot and decided to open a coffee shop. And it is, their seasonal flavors are amazing. They have some of the best. I'm not a huge chai fan.
Okay, yeah.
But their chais are ridiculous. They are so good. And you can find them also on Instagram at Trailblazer_coffee or on Facebook at Trailblazer Coffee. You can also find them at trailblazercoffee.com, 216 West State Street, Bristol, Tennessee. They have a drive-through. They do not have a drive-through at the hospital locations. If you did that, well, that'd be illegal.
You said coffee so many times in the last minute.
I know.
I want some so badly.
Coffee. But it's too late. Y'all, as we were recording this, it is 5 minutes till 10 p.m.
Oh, my goodness. I can't have the caffeine this late.
No, we would never sleep. All right, Elizabeth.
Yes.
What's your favorite Gilmore Girls takeaway?
Oh, my
Narrow it down to one.
If you go to a one-night concert in New York City, stay with your group.
Oh.
That's my advice.
Attagirl.
That's my takeaway.
Attagirl.
All the seasons, that's the number one. Everyone needs to know this.
I love that. That is true.
Stay in your group.
That is true.
Buddy system.
Girls. Those youngins that got out of there.
Of course, you know, I watch that now and I'm like, well, we all have cell phones. It'd be fine. But
that's true. I don't think about that. Yeah. Oh, mine. I don't know what mine is.
Yeah. What would yours be?
Ooh, I should have thought of this since I was asking you. I mean, I think it's just overall why it still hits. It's just that relationship that we have with community. Let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. The whole aspect of, I mean, I love how Lorelai took Rory out of a situation she didn't want her raised in. Mm-hmm. And that whole community raised her.
Yeah.
And I love that.
And similar to that, I think it's so interesting how Lorelai, in a way, is really like the mom that Lane doesn't get.
I know.
I mean, we love Mrs. Kim and Lane and Mrs. Kim.
We didn't really talk about Lane much.
We didn't. And her horrible ending of her storyline.
Oh.
Just because I can't stand Zach.
Yeah.
But she deserves better.
She married
down. Yes.
Yes. Way, she should have married Adrian Brody.
Oh, I was going to say that. Adam. Yeah. Adam Brody.
Adam. Sure.
Adrian Brody's another one.
Are they brothers?
I don't think so. But okay. Maybe that'll be another thing we look up later. Okay. But yeah, I like that. I like that Lorelai kind of plays mom to Elaine because she knows she needs it. You know.
Oh, that is. Thank you for that observation. Another moment of full.
Well, you know,
chills.
I played mom to a few people, so
you absolutely have. But that's for another episode, dear. All right, Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. I called you Gilmore. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
This has been so much fun. Thank you. Sierra wants to say thank you too. Oh. For pitching in and pinch hitting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I don't do sports. For her as our first guest host.
Absolutely.
And
I'm honored.
Gilmore Girls expert. I love you. We've had a wonderful 22 years together and hopefully we'll have another 22.
Yes. Just as wonderful.
Yes. Would you do us the honor of signing us off?
Absolutely. Until next time, stay caffeinated, stay hydrated, talk fast, and remember, there's nothing that a cup of coffee and a good book can't fix, or at least help you forget about for a while.
Oh, I love that. All right, folks, until next week. Bye.
Bye.
Really, with Sierra and Michael Thomas is produced by Griff Chap Studio, LLC. The views and opinions expressed by host Sierra and Michael Thomas are their own and do not reflect those of their employers. Copyright 2025, Griff Chap Studio, LLC, all rights reserved.